877-8345.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I'm Al Cortland. Appreciate you joining me. I got my buddy Trader Raj with me right now. You know, Roger and I did a segment on the last weekend's show, and we talked about what he had in mind was going to happen in 2012. Well, chatting with Raj this morning a little bit off the air, we decided, you know, we want to do one that's a little more current than that, and that is 2012 first quarter. That's putting a bit of a trigger on Raj, but having said that, he's pretty comfortable with what he feels is going to happen in the first quarter. Raj, let's talk a little bit first about gold. What do you see gold, the commodity, doing in the first 90 days of 2012?
Well, the first thing we need to understand is there should be normally there's two good rallies, each of them up and down, bottom, top to bottom again. They take 6 weeks, so that's 12 weeks right there. That pretty much covers up January all the way into spring. The first one is about to get started, but we've got a little bit of selling here yet in January seasonally. But after that, off we go. Commodities should do quite nicely. I think that gold in the first quarter will probably be trading in a range from 1648 to 1748, more with a bias to the high side. Interestingly enough, you know, the big hedge fund operators don't like to give prices on gold or anything else that much in advance. But Byron Wien, W-E-I-N, who runs a big fund out east, was saying that he thought that gold would touch 1800 between now and June, and I kind of agree with that. But getting back to the first quarter, we've got a good chance, I think, at probably 1850. That's the first section. The second section, we would sell off. Then again, we come back and go for another on the six-week deal, and that's projecting out in the second quarter.
Yeah.
But I'm still looking at the price stopping at 1923 on the high and then continuing on perhaps to a high of 2050. If it stops at 1923 in the second quarter, I think we're going to mishmash around here for probably 3-4 months in that period. When would that be? That would be probably April or May through August.
Yeah.
And then August, we're going to start up again. So between now and March 31st, keep in mind we're right now we're running on the February gold futures, which today came off a little bit, but it's a normal Friday five-wave correction. We hit a high today of 1623. We're at 1618 now, so it's not selling very much.
No.
Silver is a little more volatile. It can't seem to get past 29.5. But there's hard resistance for silver at $30. But, you know, we're in working on our stocks today, Al, I'm seeing that most of my stocks and my choices are up. I've got maybe two or three, maybe 25, that are either flat to down, and most of the rest are perking up nicely, with two or three of them moving up very nicely.
Well, and I'm finding it interesting. I'm looking at a 30-day chart here, right? The second to the last day of December. The second to the last business day of 2011, gold was down at 1550, and we've been in a very definite, I would have to say, strong uptrend since that time. Gold right now is trading, you know, as you said, around on the futures around 1620 or thereabouts. I bought silver the last trading day, business day of 2011, using Sprott Trust, and quite frankly, I am very, very happy with the performance. I mean, I bought it at 1330 or thereabouts, and it's selling right now in excess of 1460. So I'm pretty happy about that. Now, in terms of the individual stocks, though, are you looking for a bit of a rally or a major rally in terms of the resource sector, Raj?
Yes. Keep in mind, though, in January, it's got a kind of a soft spot of about 10 days in trading, usually in January. And we're at the 6th today on Friday, and I think that spot is going to come up either next week or around the 15th of January with a slowdown going more toward the end. But if you follow crude oil in addition, right at the end of January, normally going into February, crude oil really starts to take off. and we're looking at a higher price on that. And why do I mention that? Because it's the leader of the commodity group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 50% of the CRB basket. And that's where the big money goes when they buy the basket. We're talking hundreds of millions. And what happens then is our other commodities get thrown in the basket along with oil. So generally, the whole push looks really good, probably up until the middle of March for the next rally that's coming in front of us. And I think this year should do well.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at my portfolio right now, and for the most part, we are up. I only see one stock, Candente Gold, that I don't even own anymore that is not. Rypatch, I know, which was your a miner of the week in this past week's newsletter, continues to go down a little bit. Rypatch's last trade was at 57. I'm very surprised, given the nature of the news release that came out this past week, given the fact that I had a lengthy conversation with Bill Howell, the president of the company, and he's really, really optimistic. I think that's one that we're really looking good at. Now, in terms of Rypatch, and again, I own the stock, so don't construe this as being investment advice. I'm only using it as an example. When Rypatch was trading down around 40 cents, I think you have a lot of people who bought it at that price and are now taking profits at 57. So I think you're seeing some normal profit taking going on right now. Roger, how do you feel about energy issues in 2012?
Initially, we've been talking for some time now, I'm saying several weeks, that our forecast for the first half of this year would be $120 for crude oil. I wanted to modify that a little, which we did in our newsletter this week, mm-hmm. coming out tonight. I backed up $5, and that's purely on the technicals. But crude oil right now on the February futures is $101.25.
Yeah.
It's off, you know, a little bit today, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at a rise in this forthcoming rally, which I just mentioned oil will be a leader, going from like 101, 102, to 115. We're shopping right now, will be next week, for crude oil long spreads in an effort to find a window maybe at around 108, maybe 113, or perhaps as high as 110, 115.
Yeah.
A full return on that would be $5,000 for an investment of about $1,500. That's a pretty good trade. We've done these before, and we like them. Now, to get back to your point a minute on Rypatch, I agree exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. What's happened there is a week ago Friday, they were 68 cents. My quote today was 56, and I see that as pure profit-taking because the stock did so well for a few days, and people did take profits, and then we're going to take off again. I think they're really going to go here pretty shortly. Also, let me make another comment on silver, if I might. Silver has been stuck in the mud at between $26.50 and $29.50 for some time now, and a lot of people are wringing their hands and wondering when it's going to go. I have seen numerous remarks about the condition of the silver physical inventory in Europe, in Asia, and in North America, and I've also gotten information from some of the dealers, and they have sales that are going to go way beyond any inventory that these people have. So what's going to happen? I'm looking for a major, major rally in silver. I can't tell you when it's going to happen. The best I can say is it's probably going to be this year. It's probably going to be in the first half of this year. But I'm looking for a bounce from silver at around $28, $29 all the way up to $38.85. That's a $10 move. That's a big deal.
So is this a move that you predicted was going to happen in December, just maybe get delayed a little
bit?
Well,
the timing on it's difficult. I thought we had a long shot chance at 38 if we could get started. But then what happened, silver fell down below that hard trading range between $30 and $34.
Yeah.
And once it got back toward 26, we really got trapped, and it couldn't get moving. And don't forget that silver has a large commercial aspect to it. But on pure supply and demand and on these oversold prices, I'm looking for a really big move in silver. Some people are talking about $70 this year at the end of the year.
Yeah.
I'm not that bold, but
yeah.
I have done tech work beyond $49.62 all the way up to $75.
Okay.
I know the stop-and-go prices, so we're looking for a good year for silver, but it could take a little more time.
Okay, there you have it from Trader Raj. Stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
Thank you. Nick Wadena with Midas Resources. If you have an IRA or 401k, did you know you can turn that nest egg into a physical gold and silver nest egg? Do you know what kind of specific precious metals are allowed by law to be in retirement accounts? Did you know that you can take physical delivery of these precious metals? Would you like to know more? It's a fact. Stocks and mutual funds have been a wild ride, and many people's retirement funds have taken large hits. If you put $100,000 in gold in January of 2009, it would be worth over $200,000 today. If you put $100,000 in silver, then it would be worth over $300,000 today. As bailouts for banks and the seemingly endless printing of money continues worldwide, the value of the dollar could decline further, in turn possibly pushing gold and silver much, much higher. Protect what you work so hard for. Call me, Nick Wadena, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343, and learn what your options are. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 343. Once again, 1-800-686-2237, extension 343.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze Dry Guy is offering a limited time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
If you don't want to be unprepared, BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com is the official site of Emergency Essentials, the 24-year leader in emergency preparedness. Why do they lead? Because of best value, best selection, and their low price guarantee. Take advantage of BePrepared.com's inventory reduction sale going on right now. Save up to 43% on food storage and emergency supplies. Up to 43%. For example, Be Prepared with freeze-dried peaches and strawberries, freeze-dried roast beef, 182-piece first aid kits, 9-meal MRE kits, a waterproof multifunction emergency LED flashlight for only $3.99, and much more. BePrepared.com. All supplies last. But hurry, sale ends when inventory's gone. Call 800-999-1863. That's 800-999-1863. Or online at BePrepared.com. BePrepared.com. Best value, best selection, and low price guarantee. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You know, Trader Raj always has some very, very interesting things to say. And I have another very interesting guy and an associate of mine on the line with me right now, Steve Taylor. Steve comes on the program occasionally. We're going to drag him kicking and screaming to come on the show more often because he's really, really insightful. Steve, I want to talk about something that came out yesterday in the news, and that was there was some very serious comments, which on the surface surface didn't appear to be so serious, but the headline was something to the effect of people are taking money out of the stock market at a rather meaningful rate. What's going on there?
Well, that's right. The data shows that last year, U.S. stock funds had the second largest level of withdrawals in history. And the numbers are that that investors withdrew about $132 billion from domestic U.S. or mutual funds that invest in the domestic U.S. stock market, which is staggering, but more so that this is the fifth straight year that this has happened. And it really demonstrates that American investors are quite nervous about the stock market and have less of an appetite for the risk that they've been seeing and all the volatility they've been seeing in the domestic U.S. stock market.
You know, the interesting question here that immediately comes to mind is, are those withdrawals from what I would call significant investors, i.e., mutual funds, et cetera, or are they coming for the most part from the individual mom and pops?
I think they're largely coming from individual mom and pop.
Why do you say that?
Because a lot of the money flowed from the actively managed funds into more index funds, which I think a lot of people are saying, you know, I just don't want to look at my account very much anymore. I'm just going to push it into this index fund and just sort of forget about it. And I don't have to worry about it as much,
you know,
because I really feel that people are less willing to take the risk.
I find this to be absolutely fascinating, you know, and the reason I say it's absolutely fascinating is because I have believed for a long, long time, actually since I changed the focus on this particular show back in the early part of this past decade, I have believed that the conventional stock market was only a good place to be with a portion of a person's assets as a method to diversify, okay? And because of that, we have about 25% of our assets in the conventional market. Not because I believe in it necessarily, but because I really do believe in diversification. This could be a harbinger of some very bad things to come down the road, Steve.
It actually could if Americans don't get that good feeling about the market back and start to put money back into a lot of funds. Then it's definitely going to be a issue going forward because the market in, well, gosh, since mutual funds really became popular, has depended upon that steady source of money to drive the market higher. And without that, without the demand, you're just not going to see much interest in the market.
Well, and the amount of money that's being taken out in terms of withdrawals, redemptions, what have you, that is a very meaningful number, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a very meaningful number, and as I said, a lot is flowing into the index funds, but not all of it. I mean, there's money out there that is being totally withdrawn from the market in all facets.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of that's going to, say, alternative investments, like we've talked about with gold, perhaps more into paying for other things. People have needed to withdraw money from the market to pay individual expenses. So that money is just gone. And that's not a good sign for the market.
Well, you know, speaking of not a good sign for the market, we have an election year upon us, for lack of better terms. And the Democrats, number one, are spending huge, huge amounts of money to get the president reelected. But I think a lot of the numbers that you see pertaining to the economy are really going to be very, very misleading. The employment numbers, for example, right now supposedly we're at an 8.5% employment rate, down from a, you know, well over 9%. I'm really not sure that I believe the accuracy of those numbers if you put them in the context of people who are truly out of work or truly, truly underemployed or truly have simply given up. I would maintain you're going to see that data, which is going to try and make people more apt to invest in the market. You're going to see cooked data, for lack of better terms, in that area. And I think you're going to see a certain amount of intervention in the stock market. You think I'm nuts? Am I getting to be a black helicopter guy?
I don't think you're completely nuts. There's been a history of that in the past from governments on both sides.
Yeah.
simply because they want to make themselves look good and that
sure.
they're doing something for the American taxpayer and that they deserve to stick around.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is targeted spending, especially in swing states. We've already seen those numbers, that swing state or states that are perceived to be swing states and important for the Democrats have received a larger share of government spending
yeah.
over the last year, and certainly a larger amount of attention from the government
sure.
and the president himself. And that's just to be expected in an election cycle.
You know, it's just to be expected in the election cycle, and I hate to get away from finance here, but I have to tell you, the degree to which it goes on right now is so much greater than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago, and I think that's really sad.
Well, some of that is because of the pervasiveness of information now.
Yeah.
I think they get bigger bang for their buck now because
mm-hmm.
of the information that's out there, and you don't have to rely upon traditional media and the small number of outlets to cover your story.
Yeah.
And it will reach the targeted individuals through many different ways and a little bit easier, so they get more bang for their buck, if you were, in providing their message than they used to, which is why you're seeing a lot more spending.
Are you optimistic for a continued upward movement in the Dow in 2012?
In the Dow as a whole, I think it's time for a slight little rebound, but I certainly don't see huge gains coming up. We're just not seeing any impetus for that kind of movement and earnings growth right now. I just don't see a huge amount of, unless there's going to be a massive PE expansion, because I don't really see the earnings growing very much in 2012.
Yeah.
And that leads to very little growth in the Dow, I think.
Well, I think that's right. You know, it's I am a real believer, and I know in the past, and you and I haven't talked about this for some time, but I'm a real believer and continue to be a real believer in precious metals. The last business day of 2011 as an example, you know, I bought more silver through Sprott, and I'm very, very comfortable having done that. That investment in just the last week or so has actually done very well because we have metals going back up. But I have to tell you, if one of my kids were to ask me, you know, Dad, what should I do at this point in time? I obviously oftentimes ask them, and I probably shouldn't do that, but if they were to ask me, I'd say, you know, diversify and put some of your assets in somewhere in the resource sector. Steve, thanks so much, buddy.
My pleasure.
The Gal's going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orticillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes: whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Going to give you a bit of an update and a bit of a description right now on a company that I bought shares in after I announced 3 days before I purchased the shares that I was going to do it. The name of the company is New Zealand Energy. I'm pretty happy about my purchase. If I'm not mistaken, I paid about $1.03 for the stock, and it closed yesterday. The last trade was $1.30, and that's on a volume of close to a million shares. So I was very, very happy about that purchase. The reason I bought New Zealand Energy is, number one, because of the folks involved with the company who I have spoken with. And number two, I am very, very bullish on energy, as you folks know. And number three, I am very, very bullish on what's going on in that particular part of the world. And by the way, New Zealand Energy, shortly after they went public, went into production. I think it was just a matter of about a month, and they had put a well into production. So I am chatting right now with Relyn Bailey, and Relyn handles investor relations for New Zealand Energy. Relyn, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's been a while since I've been on the show. It's nice to be back.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back. Let's start out with kind of an overall description of what New Zealand Energy is all about.
New Zealand Energy is a fairly new company. It started about a year and a half ago, did the IPO in August. We've moved very quickly toward production, not quite as quickly as you give us credit for, so I appreciate your faith in us, but it actually took us until about the middle of December to get into production. So we drilled our discovery well in August. It tested very well. We had 1,100 barrels of oil per day coming out of there in the test. Cranked it back a little bit to be a little more conservative, and we're producing right now about 550 barrels of oil per day with netbacks in the $90 US per barrel range. So it's a very great first well. The next step now is for us to replicate that and prove that we've got the exploration savvy to be able to continue with that exploration success. We're just working on that right now.
Well, listen, I know a very, very few exploration stage companies that went into production in that short a period of time after they drew their first well. So you have to say kudos to the company. All right, what's going on down there right now?
Well, right now we're just in the process, like I said, of trying to replicate that success. So we've drilled two conductors for two additional wells in that same area. So they're delineation wells for this first discovery. We'll be completing one of those in January and then moving on to the second one. So that will give us three wells that we've drilled. And that's in the Taranaki Basin. So that's the part of New Zealand that's currently producing oil and natural gas. People aren't that familiar with New Zealand from an oil and gas story. It's actually from producing oil and natural gas for decades, most of it coming through Shell. There's a great in-country demand for both oil and natural gas, which makes it a great market. We sell at a premium to Brent. So it's a fantastic place to be operating. First world country, very supportive government, very supportive tax structure, but very unexplored, which is why our CEO and our president decided to get in there in this year and start exploring. So it's a fantastic environment, very supportive. And if you think of drilling, the number of holes that have been drilled in New Zealand to date, so, since the early 1900s, is equivalent to about 2 weeks of exploration in Alberta. So very great geological prospectivity, but it's pretty much the unexplored frontier. So it's a very exciting opportunity. And there's two sides to the country. On the west coast where we're producing right now, that's the Taranaki Basin, what you would consider the conventional exploration targets. But then on the east coast, we've got 1.8 million acres of permits over two shale packages. So there's about 300 known oil and gas seeps. So the oil and gas is literally bubbling to the surface, but nobody has actually gone in there yet to see if they can get these shales to produce on a commercial basis. And we've just started as well drilling our first core well into the fungi shales to get more information about those shale packages to see if we can get them to produce in the future as well. So it's very exciting. Early days, lots of things happening, lots of moving parts. But it's very exciting.
Well, you came out with a press release back in 2011 on December 22nd. For me, that's just a few days ago, where Bruce McIntyre, where he announced that you had hired a new individual, a fellow by the name of Cliff Butchko, who, as a senior vice president, he is a professional engineer with more than 30 years of oil and gas experience. So the company is clearly gearing up to do some great things in New Zealand.
Certainly are. And I think that's an important point to make there, Al, is that it's a new company, but it's not a new team. These guys have been around for years. We've got the Cliff Butchko and Bruce McIntyre and John Gregg, these guys that are from the oil and gas industry in Alberta. So they've got, experience right from grassroots exploration through to, building their own production oil and gas companies, leading those companies. So they've got all the business side and the North American technology side, and we've brought that to New Zealand and coupled that with New Zealand's best in-country consulting team. These guys, we hired them when we first went into the country to help us choose which plots of land we wanted to buy based on what they thought was the most prospective from an exploration standpoint, and then we asked them if they wanted to come and join us and be part of our team. So we've got an in-country technical team that's been doing all of the exploration, permitting, community engagement on a consulting basis for 25 years. Now they're working for us as New Zealand Energy employees. So it's a very strong team from both the technical and the business side.
How many small production companies that are publicly traded, roughly, I don't want an exact number, but are there in New Zealand?
Not that many. Most of the big companies are there in some shape or form, whether it's oil, natural gas, or geothermal.
Yeah.
There's probably, I may be corrected when I get back to the office on Monday, but I think there's only four or five of the smaller companies that are working there. New Zealand Energy and Tag Oil are most closely associated with each other. We're working side by side in the Taranaki, side by side in the shales. And, that's a real advantage because really the success of either company is the success of both. If we hit a good well, and, with Tag right next door, people assume that they'll have the same success and vice versa. And Tag and Apache Corp, which is one of the bigger oil and gas companies, have joint ventured on the East Coast shales, and they'll be starting to explore there in March or April. So that's very exciting for us as well because, again, we're right next door to them. So if they have success in that shale exploration, people will probably, some of that success will rub off onto us as well.
Yeah. It's interesting, but when we interviewed Bruce, he stressed the magnitude magnitude of your land package down there. And I'd like you to just give those numbers once more, if you would. I mean, you guys have a huge amount of land available to you down there.
We did. These guys moved really quickly when they went in there. Like I said, they hired this consulting team, and they said, what should we be looking at? Which permits should we be buying? And we've got five permits. Four of them are ours. One is pending that are in the Taranaki Basin. So in the Taranaki, we've got about 150,000 net acres to us. Most of that's onshore. A little bit is offshore. And then 1.8 million net acres in the East Coast. So collectively, we've got 2 million acres of land that we'll be exploring. We're just getting started here.
Oh, you are, of course, yeah. And I'm glad I got in on the ground floor, so to speak. You know, one of the reasons I bought this stock that I think people need to be aware of is, you know, a lot of companies, a lot of exploration stage companies have to go through the gyrations of continuing to raise money to access the capital that they need to keep the plan going, so to speak. It was very obvious to me right from the beginning when New Zealand Energy went into production on their first well, that the funds that they would, the revenue that they would receive from that first well would go a long way in funding this particular company. And the issue of dilution to shareholders, quite frankly, really is almost a non-issue. Real quickly, can you elaborate on that, Relyn?
Well, it's a good point to make. Certainly the cash flow from the producing well helps. We're producing about 550 barrels a day at about a $90 operating netback. So that's bringing in roughly, you know, $1.5 million a month gross. So that will certainly help fund exploration in the near term. But you've got to think that to drill a well is about to drill and case and complete is about $2.5 million and then probably another million to tie it in. So you're looking at, you know, $3.5 to $4 million per
right.
well.
Right.
So that cash flow will certainly help offset those costs. But if we want to accelerate our exploration program and be able to drill multiple wells quickly to really add to our reserve and resource base and add to our production and cash flow, we will need to raise some money to be able to do that. So we're well financed right now. From the IPO that we did in August. We're well-financed, certainly for our near-term exploration objectives to drill Copper Milky 2, 3, and 4, get over there and drill on the Renui to look at the fungi shales. And if we're successful and can bring those near-term wells into production, you know, that may change the scenario. But it's certainly nice. You know, I've been in.
All right. There you have it. Not a lot of dilution that's going to occur there initially. And remember, Big Al is a shareholder here, so this is not investment advice. I'm going to be right back.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Ready to save while getting prepared? Then you're ready for the winter sale at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Take advantage of the incredible savings on all items at 21stCenturyGoods.com. Portable AM, FM, and shortwave radios from $19.95. American Red Cross emergency radios and Kato radios from $28.95. Solar lanterns from $22.95. Solar flashlights, two for $16.95. Hand crank LED hurricane lanterns and flashlights from $8.95. Be sure to check out the flexible solar panels to power your emergency and survival gear. Every order over $75 will receive a solar-powered flashlight absolutely free. So get prepared this winter by visiting 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. That's 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pillow. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com. Utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back here to wrap up the show with my buddy Paul Warren. You know, we talked on this program in a couple of segments about the entitlement mentality and how I and my guests are really pretty much not in favor of it. Paul and I did a number of editorials during the week on this subject, and the general consensus is nobody really is in favor of the entitlement mentality. We did get a number, however, of comments from people who said purely and simply, if it's not going to work, what's the answer? And I think that's a very, very interesting question here. Now, let me just state that I firmly believe the entitlement mentality is a disincentive, and it's bad for the United States. And the only example that I think I really have to point to out of many, many examples that I can give is what happened in the city of Detroit. And I'm not going to elaborate on that, but you all know that since the 1960s, 70s, Detroit has lost about 25% of the population. You can't give houses away, for lack of better terms, in downtown Detroit. It's a very, very bad situation that one can prove conclusively occurred because of an entitlement mentality. Paul, what are your views on this?
Well, I think I've seen it mentioned that one of the driving forces behind the Model Cities program that was, you know, started out in the 1960s under Lyndon Johnson was that they felt the Soviet Union had an advantage in that they could centrally plan a city and make sure that everything, you know, rolled out in harmony. And I think we know what happened to Soviet cities and Soviet car companies and a lot of other Soviet industries is that, you know, when you impose political priorities on the economic system, economics doesn't work anymore. And that's kind of what happened here. Al, I was looking at an article that was in the Wall Street Journal in March of 2011 that talked about reaction in Detroit when it came out that the population had fallen back dramatically more than was expected. They were expecting to come in around 750,000 people. It came in at 713,777 on the official number.
Mm-hmm.
And Mayor Dave Bing, who is the latest in a 40-plus year line of sort of socialist-leaning mayors, his first reaction to this is, and I quote, "If we could go out and identify another 40,000 people that were missed, and it brings us over the threshold of 750,000, that would make a big difference in what we can get from the federal and state government," unquote. It's like, after all this time, that's still the mentality there. I don't know how this stuff gets entrenched to the point where nobody can wake up, no matter how much cold water is thrown at them.
You know, a whole bunch of cold water is being thrown on people right now. And I have come to the conclusion that the reason this process continues is because I think that the elected officials are real secure in their belief that what a great way to get votes. You know, you don't want to turn this down. You turn something down that is going to perhaps change some of the entitlements in the United States. And let me tell you, you're not going to get reelected. People want something for nothing. And, Paul, that is very, very sad.
Well, yeah, it's a political problem. It's also just a logistical and practical problem to roll this stuff back. Even Ron Paul,
yeah,
who shares the view of Rick Perry that Social Security, you know, is unconstitutional, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go in the Constitution anywhere and find authority given to the federal government to create and regulate pensions for private sector employees. It
right.
just isn't authorized.
Right.
And the problem, though, and even Ron Paul has said that he has no intention. He realizes it's not practical at this point to end Social Security, and so he has proposed legislation which would make it solvent. But, you know, if Ron Paul says it can't be undone quickly and easily, and here's the guy who's pledged to cut $1 trillion from the federal budget his first year in office,
yeah,
it tells me it's a pretty intractable problem, and we better not start any more of these.
Well, the interesting situation here is one of our listeners in San Diego, Mark, you know, brought out, he said that, you know, like everything else, entitlement started out with good intentions, but they've morphed into a huge conundrum of participants who have fed on the system and have not paid their dues into it. Too many loopholes, too many charlatans, too many deceitful people feeding at the trough. Easy money is easy money, and human nature is somewhat based on finding the easiest road to walk on. Entitlements to many Americans is a yellow brick road to stability and sustainability in this country. Why work? Well, he says, you know, now that I've ranted, what's the answer?
Well, there was a fascinating thing shared, too, by one of my Facebook friends recently about a college professor whose students, you know, were dead set on this idea that that socialism was a better way to run things, that it would take care of people better.
Mm-hmm.
And so he made them a deal. He said, to tell you what, from now on, for the rest of this course, we will pool our grades and divide them evenly.
Right.
And, you know, at first it was a great deal for the D students.
Sure.
But within a very, very short time, the entire class was pulling a combined F.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it's not hard to demonstrate this to people, but it's really hard to figure out why they can't assimilate the lessons of this. When you say, what is the answer? I am afraid that the answer long-term is going to be a crisis.
I don't disagree with you at all, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have to tell you, I don't disagree at all, and I think that we are so far down the road, and the system has gotten so entrenched, and it's become such a major, major portion of American society. I agree with you 100%. There is going to have to be a crisis. They need to be aware that that's going to happen, and they need to do everything that they can, short of violence, to protect themselves and their loved ones. I firmly believe that.
You also, people seem to have the attitude that, well, this is America. This is not Greece. Well, hello. We're following the same path. We're just a few years behind them.
Yeah.
And I don't see anything short of that being enough to shake people out of this dream.
Paul, unfortunately, I don't either, you know, and we're a couple of fairly bright guys, and, you know, we've been talking about these issues now for an awfully long time, on the air originally, and then, you know, and then now on the air again, and I do not see a solution, and what really frightens me is that the far and away the majority of our elected officials are just going to sweep it under the rug, and it's going to be business as usual, because they don't want to stir the pot, man.
It's going to be really interesting to see. This is kind of a larger mural that's going on around the Ron Paul campaign this time.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, he's going to be dismissed for as long as the media and the party establishment can get away with it. But if he starts to get traction with the American people, I'm going to see that as a positive sign, even if he doesn't win, because it means we're waking up. But watch what happens among the Republican establishment and the media in general. They're going to think that we're going off the rails when we're, for the first time in many years, getting back on them.
I would agree 100% with that. You know, the sad thing is it's all about getting reelected, right?
Yeah, but look at Ron's record in Texas, where he voted against every farm subsidy and got reelected by overwhelming margins,
yeah,
by farm voters. I mean, it's not something that cannot be done.
You know, it can't be. You're right. It's not something that cannot be done. But, you know, people have to be aware of what the situation is. People have to be a large amount of a proportion of the people have to be aware of the gravity of the problem. And, you know, unfortunately, right now, the problem is pretty simple and it's pretty obvious, but it's only being spoken about on sites like ours, on radio programs like this. I mean, we are far in a way, you know, a minority. One of our listeners, Irish Tony, has lamented numerous times. Mr. Irish has said, you know, sometimes I think I'm crazy because nobody seems to agree with me that we're in big trouble. Well, I got to tell you, man, he's far from crazy.
No, I think crazy is out there and easy to see, but it's not the people who think we have a problem. You know, crazy in that classic definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And for these folks who, like the mayor of Detroit, you know, I'm sorry, but if you haven't learned a lesson in 50 years of something not working, I don't know what hope there is for you.
I would agree 100%. You know, it's just something that to me is absolutely amazing, and I do not understand that mentality other than I have to say, on the one hand, the people who are abusing the system, taking advantage of the system, I understand where they're coming from. They're getting something for nothing, and why, you know, human nature being what it is, why should they change? And then in terms of the other side of the street, the politicians, hey, they're getting voted in. They're making millions of dollars doing what they're doing, you know, and the simple question is, why bother to rock the boat? You got the final word, man.
All right. Well, I think the final word for me would be I don't feel the need to be scared about this. The people who are going to be scared are the people who are caught by surprise. And fortunately, there are things we can do to be ready for this. I just hope that our preparations are in vain and this thing turns around. But in worst case, I plan to be ready.
That's two of us, and I know all of our listeners feel the same way. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.